Hello, and welcome to another Untitled Project on the College Costcast Network. My name is Saif Fakaidu, and I'm a manager here at collegecross.com. And joining me on the other line is the queen of Charlottesville herself, Caroline Darney. Caroline, how are you doing? Thanks for coming
on. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. That's quite the intro.
No, well deserved. I always enjoy listening to the Streak in the Lawn podcast whenever you're on talking about lacrosse. So we're just really happy to be able to talk to you today as well.
Yeah, I wish I still had a team to talk about. But, you know, building blocks, making the tournament is a good start. And I'm actually not being sarcastic. It is a good start.
No, so, absolutely.
Yeah, we shout get out to that.
Shout out Lars. Exactly. So
Shout out Lars. I love him.
Also on the line for the show is the coolest kid in the Syracuse class of 2018 and co-manager here at College Cross, Chris Ostremski. What's good, Chris? How you doing, kid?
Safe. I wish I had a team to talk about that was in the tournament as well. But good news is
it's just gonna be quiet.
I'm a Claus and Hopkins fan, so I got them.
There is a bit of poetic justice that it was at the hands of a Jeff Teat led team. So it's just too wonderful. I mean, obviously I was rooting for Syracuse. I wanted you guys in the Final Four, but it is what it is. You know. Caroline, this is episode three. I'll definitely, centered around you. So we're always, going to start with like some bio, but as we always like to joke around and talk about at the beginning of the show, just, how it is talking to people on DMs and then like, actually hearing their voice in the actual conversation. I always find it neat. I don't know if you share the same insight as I do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really funny the internet world and the way you make friends or one of the ways you make friends now online. And there's so many people that I actually have gotten to know in real life through connections via Twitter, stuff like that. So it is funny. And no one ever wants to listen to themselves talk, really. So it's always, whenever I'm on a podcast, I'm like, oh, am I going to listen to that? Because, it's listening to yourself. But I'm just glad I didn't have to pronounce either of your last names.
That would have been a problem.
Would have been fun. But yeah, it's fun to like to chat with people. It's cool to see create those relationships and then actually have it pay off into stuff like this where you get to talk to people about your favorite stuff.
Yeah, no. Podcasts definitely just continue to grow. But it's always happy to do a good show. But obviously we're here to talk about you and just get to learn a little bit about your background. So we always just like to start with like a little bit of an origin story kind of thing. Where were you born and where did you grow up through grammar school before high school?
Sure. So the year's redacted. I was born in doesn't matter.
Obviously.
No, I'm just kidding. My dad was an Air Force pilot, so we actually moved around a lot. I was born in Maine, which we called Occupied Canada. We were so far north. It was literally the end of Route 1, Limestone, Maine, Loring Air Force Base, if you ever heard of it. It's now known for fish concerts. Yeah, we were there for a couple of years, Colorado Springs for a couple of years, and then England for 3 years, Germany for 5, and then back to Virginia for high school. But my dad is completely why I got into lacrosse. He played back at NC State when they had a team. I joke around with him that he's the reason it got canceled. He's not.
He was
a defender for them. He's from the Baltimore area originally. So, and he used to be assistant coach out at Air Force. So, I'm a big time daddy's girl. He's my fave. He played on a club team out in Cambridge and we lived in England. So I always remember like as a kid, I was like, 7, 8 years old and he'd come home from practice or a game and have like huge welts on his legs and stuff. And I was, that's what I associate with lacrosse was my dad getting like smacked in the legs with shots because he's a defender. So he's always team defense when it comes to like watching games. Like he thinks everything's too easy on the attackman now.
May I ask, where in Germany? I only ask because when I moved to America, a lot of my family moved to like Western Europe, and a lot of them were in Germany. So I used to go to Cologne.
Yeah.
And I know there's obviously a lot of bases. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We were in Ramstein.
Right on.
So southwest, so near the French border, about 45 minutes from the French border. I did my freshman year of high school there. So I played soccer actually growing up because they didn't have a lot of lacrosse. In England or Germany, like when I hit that time frame of like, playing sports in school. So every child I think has to play soccer at some point in their life. I think that's like a worldwide rule.
Oh man, you're tailor made for the Jurgen Klinsmann years, you know, an American.
I know, right? Yeah. I know. And that's, I remember like watching the European, like the, you know, Euro League games and rooting for Michael Ballack. I had the biggest crush on Michael Ballack, I will tell you what. But it's just, yeah, so played soccer and moved back to the States my sophomore year of high school. And we were in Loudoun County, so Potomac Falls High School. Shout out Pop Falls. And I've started playing lacrosse my junior year of high school. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't go. Sorry, my stuff pings even when I have it closed. But yeah, so they didn't have, it was only a club team until I played soccer my first year of high school there, my sophomore year. And then I hated it. It was terrible. The people were mean. and soccer or lacrosse had just been approved as a varsity sport. I was like, I'll do this now. So I switched over. I'd always like, you know, knew how to throw and catch from playing with my dad and stuff. But yeah, that's my origin story. That's where I got my superpowers.
I got a couple questions. One, when you were over in England and Germany for what, eight total years.
Yeah.
And you moved back to the United States. Did you have like some kind of like culture shock and realize like, oh, what the hell did I miss over these 8 years?
That is a great question. It is kind of weird. I was I had a random mix on the other day, and I need to ask if this was like a thing in the States. That song "Barbie Girl" by Aqua, is that something that played here?
That was.
I wasn't even born, so you
wasn't even. Okay, cool. All right.
Don't listen to this ruffian, Caroline. That song is more than fun.
Right?
Yeah, it's absolutely fun. So,
because we had some random like mixed CDs, you know, like that. Now this is what I call music, whatever. And we lived off base, but went to schools on base, so it was all like American DOD schools and stuff like that. But yeah, the weirdest thing was coming back to the States, and you, as a military brat, you're used to everyone else at a DOD school is also a military brat. So either they're moving or you're moving every 3 to 5 years. Whereas in the States, like we got back to the high school and like they had gone to elementary school together from day one, kids that went through the entire progression of school. So they weren't used to getting new students, so it was definitely a lot harder to, like, kind of break into some of the cliques or get to know people. Like, my sister was a senior when she came back, so bless her heart. She had just 1 year left, and I remember she told a story. She was in AP German. She was fluent in German, and they asked, like, you know, the normal, what's your name? What do you like to do? And she said that she liked to play soccer, and she was really good. Our soccer team, we were both played together. She was a junior, I was a freshman at the time, and we won European championships, so like the equivalent of a state title, I guess. And so the girls in her class were like, oh, well, we won a state championship last year, so we're really good, you probably won't make it. Like, that's something that people literally said to her face, to like a brand new student at a school. I just, like, it blows my mind to this day, and it was like, you know, years ago. So that part of it was probably the weirdest. Otherwise, like, you know, we didn't come back with, you know, strange clothes or anything. It was all pretty much the same type thing. But that was like the weirdest, was meeting and interacting with people that weren't used to having new students, let alone like military, like dependents, I guess is the best way to put it.
Have you,
my second,
okay, Chris, yeah.
My second question was, when you were over, if you remember this, when you were over in England and Germany with your dad playing his club teams in Cambridge, what was the lacrosse scene like overseas, if there was any?
I don't remember a ton of it. Like, the mostly the stuff that he did was, like, they'd play pickup games. And a lot of, like, he played with several other, like, people from the base and stuff like that. But I think, like, they, you know, they'd play Oxford and, like, a couple other local. But honestly, like, I wish I remembered more of it. I don't remember a ton of, you know, I was, like, 7 when he, and he didn't play. There wasn't any place that he found to play in Germany. So it was just, like, for a couple years in England. But yeah, it was, I've still got some cool sweatshirts from that, so that's cool.
Have you gone back to Germany like just for pleasure or like
I've been back once, but it was also technically for work. After I joined the Navy, we stopped through, we actually stopped in England once and we stopped in Germany once, so we were in Northern Germany. At this near Bremen, and that was only for a couple days. That's one of the things that I really want to do is go travel travel Europe again as an adult.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Because like we moved back and I was like 15, and well, technically, like you could probably drink over there when you're 15. You can, whatever. I didn't. You know, I was a kid. So I've never been able to go and like wine and dine through Europe or anything like that. So it's on the list, you know.
No. I just say, yeah, no, if you still have friends or, you know what I mean? So I guess you're too young to keep. But I was joking around. Germany's such an underrated, fun country. Like,
oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Everyone, you know, England and France, but Germany for real is a great spot. So, back into high school, did you start a little writing then, or did you get into that later on in college? Or, I mean, we can get to UVA afterwards.
Yeah. I've always like enjoyed, writing more than math, probably. That's not a problem. I'm not very good. I was good enough at math to get into Virginia. I guess probably. And then once I got it, my first year, I was like interested in doing the business school. But accounting and I are not friends. Very much not friends. And that was I was like, screw this. I don't want to do this anymore. And I was in, Navy ROTC. So I had a job when I graduated. I was going into the Navy, regardless of what my major was. And so I was taking sociology 101 at the same time as this stupid accounting class that was the death of me. And so I was like, why am I like, why? So I decided to take a few more sociology class and got my social degree. So a lot more writing and not as many job options. But again, like I had a pretty locked in one.
Yeah.
So I actually did not start any sports writing stuff until after college. So
just I guess to finish up high school, like wow, why did you pick UVA, or did you look at the schools? I don't know, did you get recruited at all for lacrosse?
That's one of my favorite, I guess most embarrassing, not really that embarrassing stories. Like I said, I only played for a couple years, and my older sister ended up going to Virginia as well. When I went to visit her first year, I guess I was a junior in high school. I fell in love with it. The place is amazing. As soon as I stayed, was there like an hour, I was like, this is where I'm going to school. Like, I did early decision. I only applied to one school. Well, I mean, I found out by Thanksgiving, I would have had plenty of time to apply to other schools, but I only applied to one school. And then my coach emailed Coach Myers and, toot my own horn. I was, you know, all district, all that good stuff.
Right on.
All metro, whatever it was, all metro in the DC and Washington Post, all metro. It helps when you're like the only person on your team that can catch and pass. So I had a lot of responsibility as the center.
You're just LeBron carrying the team into the playoffs.
Yes.
It was very, like I said, it was a brand new program. And
Your PER is just off the charts.
I did probably my finest games. I think I had 5 goals against Broad Run, and my prom date played for the boys team at Broad Run, and they were watching before their game started because they were doing a doubleheader. So I felt pretty fancy that day. But
cheers.
But yeah, so I ended up trying out as a walk-on at Virginia. And I remember feeling unbelievably out of my league the first day of tryouts. So tryouts go like a week and a half, whatever it was. So this was like, I redacted the year earlier, but Amy Appelt was still on this team. I think she was a senior that year. And I don't know how much you guys have followed or how long you followed like Virginia women's lacrosse, but Amy Appelt is one of the most impressive like attackers to ever play. Just a complete, like, I mean, beast in the most complimentary way possible. Like, I don't know how else to describe her, cause she just could do it. She was incredible on attack. And, I remember like the first drill we had to do a behind the back pass. And I was like, well, this was fun.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe I could make some friends and, you know, but yeah, there were only like 2 of us as walk-ons and neither one of us made it. I did actually have a really good time. I did make a couple really good friends that I was friends with throughout my entire time at UVA. But they ended up winning a national championship that year. So I was like, they probably didn't need me. You know, how you say it like that, like, sure, maybe I could have ridden the bench and gotten a ring. I was more exactly. like, they were pretty good. They didn't need my help. So I did. I played club for 4 years, and I absolutely loved it. It was a great group of girls. I made some really, really, really good friends through the club team, and we had a blast. And actually, Navy was our biggest rival, and that was as they were working up to becoming a club team, becoming a varsity team, sorry. So it was like their last couple years of club was when we would really like where we had some really good games.
I mean, them winning the championships got to be the greatest thing for you. You'd be like, listen, I would have gotten on the team, but they were just—they were so stacked. I mean, they won. Exactly. Like, that's all you got to say. Like the coast broke it down. He was really felt bad about it, but he just, you know, it's good. They didn't.
Yeah, and it was funny because like a couple—I think it was last year—I went back and did like preseason stuff for Inside Lacrosse and sat down with Coach Myers and like went to practice, and I walked into their offices, and one of the assistant coaches was like, man, you look really familiar. I was like, yeah, well,
you cut me.
Yeah, and it was so funny. It was so funny. Like, they were great sports about it. And, like, I definitely hopefully made it easier for them because I was like, yeah, you guys need me. I'll be one national championship. Like, it was just very funny and funniest that she recognized me. And I've talked to Coach Myers several times, and it was just such a fun – it actually was such a fun experience. Like, I was, you know, like I said, from the moment they said, like, all right, then you can behind the back pass with this girl, I was like, okay, well, let's just learn a bunch this week and see what I can do. I knew it wasn't making it that second.
So. Just start shaking everyone's hand. Like, thanks for the experience. It's been a great afternoon.
It's been a pleasure.
This isn't for me. There's clearly miscommunication here.
I'll see you in bio and just walk out.
But it was a lot of fun.
No, that's awesome. I mean, you're a better player than either Chris or I, so even if you didn't make the...
probably, yeah. Yep.
Carolyn with dust. I mean, I don't know.
She scored 5 goals in a game. I scored 2.5, so I think I give it to her. In my only game I ever played. So while at after you're done UVA, 4 years of club lacrosse, whatever, you had an interesting first job.
I did.
How long did that take you?
I was in the Navy for 8 years. So I guess, the first place I went down to Pensacola, Florida, some flight school, and then Jacksonville, Florida for a little bit more flight school. And then I spent 3 years in Washington State, Whidbey Island outside Seattle. And then I came back to the East Coast and spent 3 years at the Pentagon.
Wow.
Yeah. To keep people on their toes.
So, why did you want to go to the Navy? Was it just your dad and traveling all those years, and it made you put it made a big impact on your decision?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a few things, I think. Like, there's always, you know, growing up in a military family, you kind of think about this service aspect, and that was just kind of something that I was used to and I thought was important. And I didn't have any particular, like, so many people are like, was he mad at you for not being Air Force? And I was like, no. he actually told me Navy, because he's like, there's much better bases. Like, they have way better bases. So you got to be in the water.
Insider,
right?
Access.
So, yeah, exactly. Better uniforms, better bases, you know, all that good stuff. And also, honestly, the ROTC program is such a great... It's a great system, or whatever you want to call it, because the first year, if you get the scholarship and you get into the school and it all works out, whatever, the first year is free. So, like, you can try it out. Like, you don't sign anything lasting. Like, you go, you take classes, you do all the stuff that they ask you. And if at the end of it, you're like, this isn't for me, then it's like, okay, great. Thanks for trying. Like, enjoy the rest of your time at UVA. Like, you don't get kicked out of school if you don't stay with ROTC. Like, you know, you have a place as a student regardless. But if you decide to, you know, if you sign your paperwork, then you're theirs for whatever the, you know, it all depends on like what job you get after you graduate. So if you get a surface warfare job going on a ship, Then your minimum time back is 4 years. If you go to flight school, it's 6 years after winging or 8 years after winging if you're a pilot. So I was a navigator. It's a little bit shorter time commitment. So it all, there's a lot of different pieces to it. But honestly, you just get the first year for free. So it's kind of like, try it. If I don't like it, then there's no harm, no foul. Then I'm just a student at Virginia. And clearly I liked it. They send you on summer training programs that are pretty sweet. So I got to go to Japan and Russia one summer, and then from San Diego to Pearl Harbor the next year.
That's not bad.
Nah, does not suck. I got lucky. There are definitely ones that do suck. Like if you accidentally get paired with a ship that sits off of the coast of Virginia and you're like outside Norfolk for 30 days, like that's not as fun. But I got to climb Mount Fuji. So, you know, not too bad.
So you said
humble brags.
Yeah. So you said you're a bit of a pilot, right? To for flight school right after school.
I was a navigator. So I joke around that great job for a girl. You get to sit in the back and tell the guys where to go. So.
Oh right. I was just gonna say, as a big fan of the ground, like I've never really taken flights. Like I mean, I always give like almost high fives to every pilot every time I'm like, great job, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone. So how is that sensation?
Yeah. It's incredible. So- yeah. Honestly, like again, like this wasn't something where I grew up. It was really kind of a funny. I had actually expected to go on a ship. Like both of my summer training things were on ships. Like I actually requested to go on a ship as my first choice. And I guess how it shook out is that year they needed more navigators. And so normally the way it goes is if you like request to be a pilot and there aren't enough spots and you get default stuck with surface, but they needed navigators. And so I got my, they're like, congratulations, you got your second choice of NFO, like, please get a flight physical and take the flight test. So I wasn't expecting to fly. But now in hindsight, I'm glad that it turned out the way it did. It was a lot of fun. I got a chance to, you know, the first part of training you do is kind of to make sure that you're comfortable with flying and that you don't have any like mind blocks with like how you're supposed to do it or anything like that. And you fly a Cessnas. I always like to ask people this, like how many hours like flight training do you think you need before they let you solo in a Cessna? So this is like for a private pilot's license.
Wow.
150?
At least 200?
No, not even close.
Oh, is it going to be like 20?
500.
Crazy like
way less. It's like 13 or 15 hours.
Wow. That's amazing.
That puts trust.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's various stages. So like when you first solo, you just do it at the... And your instructor will not let you do it unless you've shown like capabilities like with them in the plane or whatever. But yeah, the first one you just do at the airfield. So you just like stay in the pattern and you don't go anywhere else. You like take off, like go around in a rectangle and land. Like, Cessna's very sturdy planes. So, but yeah, it's fun. I really enjoyed that. And then, you know, from that point on, we don't do any other solo flying. Like once we get into the squadron, the training squadron, and you're in the more fun planes.
Forgive me, like, yeah. I hope this is not too Top Gun cliches. You guys do like these air games and stuff like that, but like how what is those kind of experience like?
Yeah, so Top Gun's, I mean, yeah, Top Gun's a real place. Like I have friends who have gone to Top Gun. Yeah, it's, and I've actually, yeah, it's, there's, they have some training facilities out there and stuff. In flight school, you just do more of the, like, the basics. That's, like, Top Gun is, like, the best of the best guys, whatever. But it, for reference of, like, what I, the type of, I was Goose, but in a bigger airplane, and alive. Spoiler alert for Top Gun. Just watch that. but, yeah, so it's a little bit different experience. Yeah, it's cool though. Like, you know, you get to fly with all the gear and you look like a badass. You definitely look more badass than you are. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my time in Pensacola.
Nothing beats that high five Goose and Cruz give. That's every kid wants to be a pilot then.
That movie, I swear, was the bane of my existence in flight school because there's so many people that thought they were Maverick that you're just like, the worst. Especially like I said, I wasn't expecting to go. It was a lot of fun. I joke around, but like honestly, the best people I've ever met are some of the, like, I still have good friends from all along my stages in my military career that, it's just one, like, the type of thing where you, and their spouses too, where you just kind of, after not seeing someone for 5 or 6 years, you can go grab a beer and it's like you were just on deployment. And, so I have nothing but good things to say about the people in my time. So it was fun.
That was awesome. So after, the Navy, you did a good amount of work with Inside Lacrosse. You want to tell us a little bit about how you got in there and then
So it actually was near the end of my time out in Washington State, and I saw a post on Inside Lacrosse that asked for, they were looking for East Coast contributors, and I was obviously out on the West Coast, and I happened to send an email, I think it was to Matt Kinnear, and was like, hey, I don't know if y'all are interested at all, but I'm on the West Coast. If you need any West Coast stuff, I'm happy to help. And this was right around when they just moved the Stealth up to Washington. And so they played like just south of where we were. They played in Everett, which was about an hour or so from where, like basically equidistant between where I lived and Seattle. And so I sent a couple writing samples. I'd kind of dabbled with like Blogspot and like trying to create like a sports blog type thing. So I'd, like I said, always liked writing and obviously love sports. And so I sent them a couple of things, and he put me in touch with Danielle Bernstein, who was then the Isle Women editor. And I was doing live in-game blogging for the Stealth. So like, two people and my dad read it, I think. But no, I'm just kidding. Paul Rabel was out there. The Beast of the East was what they called him on that team. And it was a blast. It was a great way to kind of get started. I got a chance to interview the coaches and the players after the game, like get kind of some experience in that. And then I was on deployment, and where I was sitting in front of the computer. It was the middle of lacrosse season, and it was 2011. I mentioned that because I wrote something. I was curious as to how the Virginia team compared to the 2003 and 2006 national championship team statistically. And therefore, I was just literally just stemmed from being bored and like having a lot of time. Sorry, again, the dog. a lot of time to like kind of hang out in front of a computer. And so I just was kind of curious, and it stemmed to this thing where I was like, man, if Virginia wins, you know, a few more face-offs a game and does this and does that, then they're actually in a better place than the 2003 national championship, yada, yada, yada. I write this whole thing kind of outlining that about like what Virginia would need to do to win a national championship. And I just kind of out of the blue was like, screw it. So I sent it to Danielle, and I sent it to one of the local writers in Charlottesville for the Daily Progress. And Danielle came back and was like, all right, sweet, we'll run it. Like, she had talked to Matt Kinnear, and they're like, we'll run it tomorrow. And I was like, oh, what? I'm having a story, like an actual, like, I wrote something, like, not just an in-game blog or whatever. And then the Charlottesville paper.
We got to timestamp that bleep, so
oh, sorry.
No, you're good. It was just jokes, Caroline. But we do got to timestamp that bleep.
I'm just kidding.
I was just making Ryan do more work, so I hope he hears this comment right there. Sorry to interrupt, please.
No, that's okay. You told me there's no time limit. I get real long-winded.
No, this is gold. This is pot. We want to talk about the dog, too, so before we even get to lacrosse.
Okay, yeah,
we're going to get into it.
And so, yeah, so they ran it. The Charlottesville paper actually came back, and he wanted to run it, but I told him that Inside Lacrosse had picked it up, and so he then asked me to write something else. So I kind of did a preview of the ACC tournament, and then it just kind of, from there, has how I got my foot in the door. and I was back on the, I ended up covering the first game I ever did in person was the UVA Bucknell game in 2011, which was a very exciting game, to say the least, as Virginia came back and won in overtime on the Matt White goal. And then they went on and then put together like three more great games and won the 2011 national championship. And I will say that everything that I said in my article, they did. So thanks, Dom. I love you. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, so it was just like, that was kind of how it all got started. And then once I was back in on the East Coast, they asked me to do all the Virginia beat writing. So I would go down there for games. So I had like a longstanding relationship with IL. And when I was looking at whether I was going to stay in the Navy or separate, I ended up going to grad school at Georgetown for sports management. And
wow.
I know.
Is it a part of die the second that you went to Georgetown?
I didn't know you didn't know that. Yeah. So then
oh no, I knew that. I just wanted to ask you, did it like yeah. I
did just part of me die? No. Part of me fancier. I'm just kidding. It was great. I loved it, and I was able to. It worked out that a job opened at Intel Lacrosse and the events side of the house. So got some time in there. Worked up in Baltimore for a year and a half or so before I moved over to SB Nation.
Yeah, you're now a college league manager. Chris, I don't want to hog the mic if you want to jump in there.
But you're good. I actually had to correct a previous tweet because I, instead of Kyle Marr and the Hopkins goal from Sunday, it was actually Shaq Stanwyck, and I accidentally credited Kyle Marr for that. So you may continue safe.
That's
Stanwyck's, I will give a pass just because they're the golden family of lacrosse, and obviously I love me some Steel.
Steel's probably the best one of all time.
You know what? Steel's
On the boys' side.
Steel's caliber as a player just went up like tremendously as soon as he started coaching for Hopkins. Like he was an okay player at UVA, but in retrospect, I really now, think he's like one of the greatest attackmen of all time.
You know? He is.
Alongside his brother. But
his postseason run that year was incredible. And honestly, one of the like people always say like, yeah, but he didn't do anything against Maryland in the championship game. He didn't do anything against Maryland in the championship game because Steel Stanwyck didn't need to do anything against Maryland. He pulled... Yeah. I can't remember the kid's name. Farrell. He pulled Farrell out of that team defense and made it like they. He took effectively took their best defender out of their team defense, and basically Dom and Coach Van were like, "We've got the guys to beat you without Steel, so we're going to try this attempt." And it worked. I love it. I think it was brilliant.
All right. Well, I mean, we're going to get to a lot of lacrosse, so we got to talk about the dog. Since
absolutely, 100%.
What kind is it, and how long have you had it?
So she is a, I think, Husky Australian Shepherd mix? She's about 65 pounds. She's very vocal, as you can tell. She likes to sing to me. her name is Bennett, and is not fully after Tony Bennett. So let's clear that up.
The coach Bennett or the singer Bennett?
Coach Bennett.
I always like watched. I read first, and then watched Pride and Prejudice a lot with my mom. So Elizabeth Bennett being the main character.
Yes.
It would be great if you corrected people. Like, no, not the coach, the singer. I was a big fan.
Big on lounge singing. she knows I'm talking about her. She's getting louder. But yeah, and then I was also tell my sister it's for the bad guy from Commando. Let some steam off Bennett, whatever, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've had her, she's a little over three now, so I've had her a little over 2 years. I got her when she was 7 months, I think. But the adoption place said she was like a year and a half, so that was a fun surprise for everybody. So she's a handful. She's gotten much better. She's very high energy, but she's a sweetheart, and I love her dearly. She's my fave.
Well, we would be hard-pressed to not talk about lacrosse in the tournament. Let's first get your takes on the season, unless Chris had more dog talk to get in.
I do not have more dog talk, but I would like dog to talk. Comment that Bennett does sound like Kevin Corrigan as if he was a dog.
But it's insulting. No, it's good. How dare you?
At least Betty could probably win a national championship. May continue.
She would motivate the heck out of her players. I don't know what my swearing levels are.
But that's good. Think of PG-13. That's how we try.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. So how about your takes on the season? How before the season started, and did it meet? You know, if you had it, even expectations going in. So.
I guess I'll, you know, if we are speaking specifically Virginia to start.
Obviously the Cavs.
Yeah.
Then we can go the whole league.
So first of all, I'd say like I was a huge Dom fan. I grew up like from when the weirdest thing about probably living overseas and coming back is. Like, we had no ties to UVA before my sister went there. Like, so as far as I know, like, I don't have a ton of UVA history before I started going there. When it comes to, like, knowing the sports history, I guess is the best way. And I don't know, like, UVA lacrosse without Dom Starja. Really, a lot of people don't know UVA lacrosse without Dom Starja. And I thoroughly enjoy him as a person and talking to him and interact with him. So getting a new coach was like really weird, but I love Lars. I think he's the right guy for this job. We frequently joke as a fan of Virginia basketball that, you know, obviously the styles are about as different as you can get. So, you know, we like our basketball slow and our lax fast. I love this team, and I think that what they did that was important was last year he talked a lot about observing and learning a bit of the culture and, like, learning about the team and, like, learning about what pieces he had and what he wants to do with them. And then this year was a lot more of starting to institute his system and guys buying in and that kind of, you know, not to do just all the cliche coach speak, but guys buying in and the communication piece he said was very key for them and that they played a lot as a team and seemed to just really enjoy being around each other. So all the off-field stuff, there's that. Obviously some huge milestones, like as dumb as it sounds now after winning all those games in the past few years years ago is getting that first ACC win, like yay.
You know, we really didn't cover that too much.
Yeah, it was,
not at all.
The first time you're hearing about it. Virginia lost 18 straight, so
really.
Yeah,
Chris,
you
gotta fact check. Not that we don't trust you, Caroline. We
gotta fact check this. We do have to figure that out. I'm coming on it right now.
Yeah. Google that.
Now, and it is what it is. Like, the number is real. It exists. It was 18 straight. You know, the frustrating thing for me sometimes is when we get some readers or commenters that hadn't followed any of those games. Being like, oh man, we must be just trash. And I was like, I looked at the numbers, only like 5 times where Virginia was ranked ahead of the opponent. That's the whole breakdown. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to excuse it. Like, that's definitely an important thing that you need to be able to beat the teams in your conference. But there were years when, like, all 4 games against the conference foes were the team that they played was in the top 5. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like, it's not like Pitt going 0-18 over the same type stretch. You only get a few whacks at it each season and generally against teams that were pretty good.
And generally with a coach that's better than Kevin Stallings, but continue.
That's, yes, also true. And there's so many, I think I counted that there were like 6 by 2 goals or less. And that's, you know, a third of the games were, you know, how many were in overtime against Syracuse or, you know, 1 goal games with Notre Dame and that kind of thing. So, it was frustrating as a fan and, you know, as someone who watched the team closely. So I can only imagine what it was like for Dom or for the players. So yeah, I think that was a huge step. I think making the tournament was a huge step. Winning a game in the ACC, making the ACC tournament was a huge step. And then winning a game in the ACC tournament and then making the NCAA tournament again. And it's just all good stuff. Cause like on that team that played on Sunday or Saturday against Loyola, there were only 3 guys who had played an NCAA tournament game before and they were all on defense. So Scott Hooper, Cooper Ferson, and I think Logan Greco were like the only 3 guys who had played when they got their butts kicked by Hopkins 3 years ago or whatever it was. So it's all important to build the foundation. And like, I love these young guys on the team. Like, they're so good. And it's like, you look at like what Docs Aiken is doing and the records that he's setting for like midfielders, and you think about the midfielders that went to Virginia before Dax Aitken, and that should be saying something. You know what I mean? Like, he's setting the single season scoring points in a, you know, for a UVA midfielder for a season. And he played on the same squad, you know, played for the same school that Jay Jalbert, Chris Rotelli, Kyle Dixon, any of those guys played for. You know, so it's really cool to see someone in their second year do what he's done. He set the record last year. Matt Moore would have set a record if Dax Aitken hadn't come before him last year. So to see like a guy like Matt Moore coming up and really develop throughout the season. And then the one assist for Kraus will haunt me till the day I die. He finished one assist shy of becoming the first ever Virginia player with 40 goals and 40 assists in a season. And again, wow. Think of the people that played at Virginia. Like, and I don't mean that to be as like hoity-toity or whatever. Like, there's great players that play everywhere, but you know, you're talking about the Matt Wards and the Steel Stanwicks and guys like that. Doug Knight, like those guys never did 40-40, and so he finished with like I think it was 43-39. So, and if he had played against VMI, if he hadn't run into his own guy, or if Docs hadn't run into him, but that's fine. He's got two more years to try and do it. But yeah, so I really like those guys. I think that the foundation is great, and you have Conrad coming back. You've got, you know, Under Armour All-Americans coming in, and I think Rode will only continue to get better, and Justin Schwenk set a school record for face-off wins in a season. So, and he was a second year. So I think that Anish Shroff from ESPN has it right when he says the championship window opens next year. So anything they did in the postseason this year was gravy to me. Obviously, it would have been nice to beat Loyola, but Loyola's really good. So, you know, it is what it is.
I do have some breaking news to a report right now. Virginia did beat a really crappy North Carolina team in Chapel Hill 15-12 on
true.
April 7th, 2018 to indeed end that 18-game ACC winless streak. Excluding that crap game that it played in 2013.
I need so. That like office gif of Dwight being like, "It's true."
But considering all with
our listeners know exactly.
Yeah.
But considering all with the Cavs season, you know, a lot of these guys, the younger guys, as you mentioned, Docs, Kraus, and even Jared Connors, and Rode, and Matt Moore, Laviano.
Will Rock.
Yeah. Oh, Anish loves him.
Yeah.
All these guys were recruited under Dom Starzha, and now they're playing in Lars Tiffany's system. So who do you think should get more of the credit? Lars for coaching these guys under Dom, or Starzha recruiting these guys? Or is it even?
I think that's a great question. And Coach Tiffany has been very, very effusive of his praise when it comes to like, I got left some great presents from Dom, you know, like, and they obviously have a good relationship, mentor mentee relationship between, Dom and Lars. And, that's a great question. I think they would have succeeded under both, but I think the system that Lars is running allows for guys like Kraus to, I don't want to say like get bigger numbers, but more possessions equal more opportunities, obviously.
Play so I think potentially, strengths.
Yeah. So he plays their strengths, and I honestly, like, I love what he did with Zed last year, Zed Williams, who was probably one of my favorite recent players to come through Virginia. I just absolutely adored that guy. He was just a really, really, really nice person. Who happened to be very good at lacrosse. So I think that a lot of it, there's a lot of credit that goes to Lars in his utilization of how what he's getting out of these guys. And again, like a lot of it is like these guys had to buy in. You know, like you look at a guy like Docs who committed to Coach Starzha, and they do that now when they're like in eighth grade. So if you go through all of high school anticipating to play for one guy or one style, and then you find out spring before you're supposed to show up on grounds that now you're playing for someone else. Like you have to, I think there's a little bit of credit that goes to those guys that bought in and came in open to what they were going to do in college. And obviously are taking advantage of it.
Do you think we'd be having a similar storyline with how these two seasons have gone if we still had Starja, if you guys still had Starja at the helm?
That's a good question. Honestly, I don't know, and because the thing is, like, I think Dom's a great coach, and I'm glad I got to, like I said, I had nothing but positive things to say about him. So I'm curious, like, if it would be the same. I don't know. Obviously, I think there were a lot of factors in what the stretch that they went through that was difficult. I don't know. I think I'll just, like, take the easy way out and say I think with the way things turned out, it's a pretty good situation now. I don't know. I don't want to say bad things about Dom. I
really, hypotheticals, baby.
I don't like hypotheticals, baby. But I'll talk about it.
One final one on my end. Another hypothetical. Conrad.
Yeah.
That was a huge, and we were at that game, and we actually saw each other physically, not through a webcam or whatever, or email, whatever. So he went down, gruesome injury, one of two gruesome injuries that ended seasons for Virginia, and then Syracuse had one too in that same game later on with Fernandez. If you had Conrad back there, does his team go to the Final Four?
I think they definitely have a much better chance. He's just a guy that creates possessions, whether that's on the wings, on a face-off, whether that's ensuring a clear goes smoothly. Honestly, I probably think he's a better human clear than, like, you know, Chris LaPierre was a couple years ago, whatever, a few years ago. Whenever he'd get the ball, I'm just like, oh, great. I completely trust everything that he's going to do. And obviously, it doesn't mean he didn't have turnovers or isn't human, but he's just the kind of player that you're like, oh, good, Conrad has it. Oh, good, Conrad's on the wing. So that definitely really hurt. And I think that actually had a huge impact on, like, the first Notre Dame game. They had really bad clearing issues and bad turnovers at bad times. And there's just a couple times where they really could have used a possession late. Now, again, would he be enough to make the difference in that game against Loyola? Possibly. But again, like, well, you know, it's one of those things, like, if he's on the team, I think Virginia hosts, I guess, is probably a better way to put it. Which I think then would, you know, one would assume would improve their lot at making the Final Four. But I guess we'll see next year, right? It's mostly the same guys. Only five seniors on the team. So, you know, the biggest ones that you're losing are DeMario and Scott Hooper.
And Greco as well.
And Greco. I think Greco redshirted a year.
I thought he was a redshirt senior.
Is he? That's possibly...
Thank God I have the website up.
No.
Greco. Where is Greco? Oh, he is a junior. Ha ha ha. I am wrong. Hooper, DeMario. Those are the two big guys. Matt Emery. Yeah. And then Cam Stafford, Cooper Furstein, and Chase Campbell.
Yep.
And they're juniors. They don't really have a lot of juniors either. Dave Smith, maybe. Conrad's going to be a redshirt. Herring, Greco, and then Ambrosino.
Yeah, it's very, you know, first and second year. I mean, I don't have the numbers, but, you know, like, Vince, the SID, had all the good numbers on, like, you know, over 70% of the points scored were by first and second years. So it's definitely, they're trending the right way. I'm very excited about what this team can do. And it is one of the things, like, you look at it and, like, last year, if last year's season went exactly the same but happened 4 or 5 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, that team makes the postseason. But it's exciting. I'm not saying that is a bad thing. It's exciting to see so many teams be so good. Like, you know, that there's an opportunity where if you don't get the job done and you don't schedule tough out-of-conference teams – like, year 9-5 isn't going to matter. Like, and it used to be like, oh, 10 wins? You're making the postseason. Oh, 10 wins in an ACC team? Like, you're making the postseason. So you really got to schedule smart and win a couple big games. And that's where Virginia struggled, like, last year. Like, they beat everyone that they should have, lost everyone that they should have, but didn't really do anything to wow.
Did you, I mean, I don't want to go back to Selection Sunday, so how was your reaction to the first round games? Any surprises?
Not really. I think they were a little, I don't want to say they were boring. They definitely weren't boring. But a lot of chalk. The ones that didn't go chalk with, you know, Syracuse and
of course.
Cornell, sorry. With Syracuse and Cornell and Denver.
No, because I agreed. I thought we should have been on the road.
Yeah, and I think I don't have it. I don't have the anger that other people do about, like, can't believe Cornell had to play at the Dome. Like, it's not that big of it, honestly. Like,
me neither, because that was my last game ever
in the Dome. Yeah, see, there you go. Works out. But I think both of those, the two games that ended up not going chalk were actually, you know, decided by 1 and 2 goals. And I'm also 100% not here for any conversation about the ACC went 1 and 3 in the tournament, should have let someone else in. Like,
is that true? Chris,
tons of it.
I can't even confirm that the ACC did go 1 and 3.
Is that fact check? On the fly fact check. Thanks, Chris.
That is correct.
Two games that are decided by 2 goals and one that's decided by 1 in the last, like, 10 seconds, like, or whatever. Like, there's a chance to tie it with 10 seconds left. Like, I don't want to hear any of that.
Caroline, as you know, I'm above that petty, like, one-upmanship for the, you know? It's just not, we try to keep it dignified here at Cause Cross. I'm shocked people made a big deal about that. So.
Yeah. Safe, I've heard that if Duke loses to Hopkins on Sunday, it'll be the second straight year the ACC doesn't have a Final Four team.
Really?
Oh my God.
Don't make me root for Duke. Don't do it.
I'm not rooting for them either. I'm rooting for Hopkins.
Let me tell.
Get to your picks. Don't worry.
That's so tough for me. But I thought the first weekend was good. It was exciting. There were some good games. There were some games that I didn't get super excited about. Like Yale, UMass didn't really do much for me. No offense. That one went about how I expected it to. Mm-hmm. I think it was a solid. There were some really fun games, and there were some really good games played.
How did you feel during the blackout? Or not blackout, but you know what I mean, like the lightning.
My God. The first, like, 20 minutes were like, oh, all right, we'll get started soon. And then, like, hour 1.5, you're like, this is where I live now. I'm going to die here.
Watching the season once again, you know, another repeat.
Good Lord. It was, I don't know if I've ever seen it rain that hard.
It was pouring.
It was pretty hard, yeah.
I was surprised the field, they did must do a good job getting rid of the water, but it was...
The drainage on that, because it's like the sport turf, it was incredible. Like, it actually had pooled during the heaviest rain for it, but then it, like, by the time they came back out, and got, the biggest bummer about it was, like, so many people left. Like... probably 75% at least of the crowd left, and I don't blame them, like, especially if they live close, but it was still a great crowd because, like, you have the UVA fans who were there with the team who traveled up to see it, basically, that didn't have a house to go to that was 5 minutes away where they could watch it on ESPNU, and then you had, like, the really big diehard Loyola fans, so everyone who stayed was, like, super diehard, and they were really loud, and it was exciting, you know. The game, while it was, you know, Virginia did make a run at the end, obviously wasn't that close throughout, so it wasn't like pins and needles in the third quarter there or anything like that, but it was great. They have a really good atmosphere up there, Loyola, and they've got a really good team, and goddamn, Pat Spencer's good.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yep.
Did you want to share your Final Four?
Oh yeah, so is it who I think will win or who I want to win?
How about this? Both. You got plenty of time, so go ahead.
Oh, by the way, first of all, I was trying to search Anisha's Twitter. how was she at the Dunkin' Donuts during the weather delay?
Oh my gosh, it was so good. Shout out Terry Foy and my BFF Jackie Borowski, aka the best lacrosse photographer in the world. They made the run, and it was clutch. I don't expect them to have, like, a food run or food setup like they do at the ACC basketball tournament or something. You know what I mean? So there was definitely a point where I was like, man, I could really use some popcorn or something. best Dunkin' I've ever had. let's see. Let's go. I'd like to see Yale, Albany. Oh, no, sorry. Loyola, Albany, Cornell, and...
Come to the dark
take
side,
the blue
Tom.
Pill.
Come to the dark side.
You get
side,
FTX
Kevin.
Helmets. You take the light blue pill.
Join us.
Yep.
I think now that you said the no ACC and the Final Four thing, I need that not to happen because I don't need that narrative in my life. So I guess Duke. I don't want anyone from the
Caroline. You were the chosen one, Caroline. Come on.
You are the chosen one. I need someone from the Annapolis one to not make the finals. Can we just do that? I'm sad that one of the teams from that side has to actually progress to the finals. I was heartbroken. I thought Georgetown did literally everything that they needed to do to win that game.
Except stop Kyle Maher in the fourth quarter.
I still cannot believe that they lost that game. Just because, like, and you're right, Kyle Maher was outstanding. I can't even say that Nick Morocco wasn't good. Like, he stood on his head for some of those saves. And they just had a couple stupid turnovers, and that's literally, like, I don't think they made a ton of mistakes, but, you know, and give credit to Hopkins, they obviously took advantage when they happened. So, it was just like, I saw it dwindling. It was like, this is going to happen. This is my life. These are the teams I root for that this happens to. I think the winner of the Hopkins-Duke game goes to the championship game. I don't think Maryland is as unbeatable as everyone seems to talk about.
They are, like, wobbling a little bit. Like, I think of it like a heavyweight fight these last 3 years. Like, this is like round 10 or, you know, this has been a long run for this team of having to carry everyone's, you know, like a bullseye everywhere they go. Like,
yeah.
I feel like every team is, like, kind of equal. Like, they have their strengths and they have an obvious weakness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that there's any one looking, obviously, is a dumb thing to say when you're like, there's only, you know, eight teams left or six. How many teams are left? No, eight teams left. That's right. Golly, I was looking at this picture, like, trying to count. When there's eight teams left, obviously, any of them should have a chance to win. But I think this year, like, legitimately, any of these eight teams have a realistic shot to make the finals and therefore win the whole thing. Because I think once you get to the finals, like, who knows what's going to happen? Like, anything can. And that's what I love about it. It's great. And so you've got, you know, Pat Spencer versus Ben Reeves. And not to take away from the great defenders that those teams have, but you get that matchup. And then obviously everyone wants to see TD Ireland against Trevor Baptiste. And then you've got Jeff T against Maryland and Connor Kelly, who's the attackman that they continue to call a midfielder and give him midfielder awards. And then you've got, you know, the Hopkins, who just will never die, and Duke, who has Gutterding, who literally scores 45 points a game. So I
think no one respects him somehow, which I don't know why.
Is that true, though? Is it?
I mean, respect him. But he got denied a first-team All-American honors, even though he was tied with Jeff Teat for tops in points in the nation.
I do think that it's very tough, because no matter what you do, like, look at the Tuareton thing. Like, no matter what you do, no matter who you choose, when people cop out and, like, just pick, like, five attackmen, like, it should be three, like, you know, like, 3-3-3 and a goalie, maybe I'll concede you a face-off guy and a long stick. But I mean, attack is just so overloaded this year with and that's tough to, like, if you gutter it in. I often, you see stuff on Twitter, some people roasted for this, like, taking about a guy being left out, you have to say who you would replace. Like, you have to take both sides. You have to be like, all right, it sucks that Gutterding didn't get selected. Or, you know, in that case, I guess it was Jeff Teat for Tuareton. Like, okay, so
Jeff Teat.
Yeah, like, who are you taking off the Tuareton finalist list to put Jeff Teat in? And, you know,
I said if we were doing, like, position for position, probably Pat Spencer.
That is, but, like, ludicrous, Chris. That's the third time you said it. And I've kept quiet all the times, but now, like, it's three times.
We built
the site after Hoya left. We built the site a lot on Pat Spencer. Like, that was a legitimate calling card for 2016.
And every time that I think, like, he hasn't done that well. I like look his numbers up and be like, holy crap, that's a lot of assists. You know, like
they're identical or better to the numbers where we scolded the committee for not nominating. You know, like he's amazing. Yeah.
It's but, I think that's what's tough. And it's the same thing. Like, honestly, like I love Michael Krause, so I wouldn't even trade Michael Krause for any of these guys. Like, and yeah. Part of that's blatant homerism. A part of it's like, I like the way he plays and like what his role is and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just kind of like, you know, I get kind of mad. I'm like, why isn't he even on the second team? You know, like that kind of thing. So I think I don't envy. I didn't vote this year in the media poll, which is good.
So because I you had an R poll, which is the best poll of them all.
Exactly. So I didn't have to make any of those tough decisions. I took the coward's way out and just didn't vote.
We will hold your feet to the fire here. Who's your champion? Who do you want to win and who do you think is going to win?
Albany's going to do it this year. I'm so excited about it. If they lose, I'm not watching anymore. I just think that they're a fun team to watch this year. Not just this year, but they got a little bit of everything for everyone, I think. And I think it's one of the, I think they'd be a great story. Like I said, anyone but someone from the Annapolis region. Because a lot of it's just too old school. Like, I'm like, no, they're all boring and they've all won before. Like, give me some of these new blood folks up in Hempstead, up in Rockin' Hempstead. Obviously, Loyola's won it before, but in Denver in the past couple years. So.
These Big Ten fans, they should act like they've been there before if they make it half the field. You know, can we
take a moment and like just, and this is what makes me laugh when people are standing for the quote Big Ten teams that are still in the tournament.
God Conference, technically.
It's Maryland, who was, come on, an ACC team still, let's be honest. And then, or at least...
Hopkins is an independent.
Yeah, and we're talking, like, oh, Hopkins is a Big Ten rep? Like, okay. Yeah, it just makes me laugh. Like, obviously, those are...
You'll love this. You'll both like this, because I used to love Michigan, but, like, I kind of, like, Ohio State, I always thought their fans were a little obnoxious. So I always, like, kind of goofed on the Big Ten, especially Penn State. But then as soon as Hopkins got in there, I was like, dude, this is the most august conference of all time, you know, like, and it's always, like, and it's the same thing with, like, Natalie Portman. Like, I never was a fan, like, you know, the professional is amazing, but, like, not a big fan. But then she played her most recent movie, and she's, like, a professor at Hopkins, and now I'm like, Natalie Portman's the actor of our generation, not even actress. She's legitimately like the greatest actor this country has ever produced. So,
plus she got to hang out with Chris Hemsworth, so you know, I'll take it. That's fine. She's cool.
I did a whole retrospect on those Thor movies. I was like, those were actually really good. Yeah, I did.
She wasn't even in the best one.
I was like, I didn't even watch it. I was like, I didn't really like the Thor, but I was like, now I'm just like, yeah, it was awesome. It was probably the
first
the
one
movie
was
of the year.
Fun. The second one was okay, and Ragnarok changed my life. So there you go. How about that?
I just saw Infinity War.
Oh, so
I would
good.
Like to say one thing.
Sure.
Star-Lord.
Like a sport. Don't
fire okay. Star-Lord. Spoiler.
No.
Fire Star-Lord into the sun.
You have to. No, I won't.
Fire him into the sun.
I won't get into
you had
this
one job. He had one job to do, all right?
Yeah,
one
but he
job.
Just found
and
out
shut
some
up.
Bad news.
He had one job to shut up, and he didn't shut up. And Thanos just went like, and he got angry, and he just killed half the universe.
Here's the thing. So Chris Pratt, if he started a movie where he read the Virginia Tech football starting lineup, I'd probably still go see it.
We have a Marvel and stuff. You want to let's just get to the rapid fire, Chris, because then we can
talk
about this as well. Because there is a Chris question and there are a couple Marvel questions. But I'm going to give you a layup here, Caroline. Best place to eat in Charlottesville?
Ooh. Okay. So for breakfast, I'm going to send you to Bodo's because Bodo's is just the best bagel place in the entire world. And kind of one that's like in a place where there's a lot of people, but a lot of people haven't gone. Sal's Cafe Italia. I'm going to stand for the old restaurant I worked at. I waited tables there. It's one of the old school, like if you order chicken Alfredo, like there's a guy in the back who's making Alfredo sauce from scratch for you. Mm. Great pasta, good wood fire pizzas, and it's right on the downtown mall. So it's walkable, you know, park down there and have a nice meal outside, have a couple glasses of wine. Pretty good. There's so many great places in Charlottesville to eat. And there's a bunch of fun stuff to do. There's breweries and vineyards everywhere, and you got Monticello, and you can go apple picking and go hiking, all sorts of stuff. But yeah, good food.
I had a couple in the hole, Chris, if you are not really ready, but I shared with you a couple of them. But here's another layup. Since you're right in the district, your favorite spot to eat in Northwest?
Ooh, that's a really good question, because I'm not as up on my... I'm trying to think, because I live over across the river in Virginia.
So oh, right. I'm sorry. I thought you were working. Maybe offices?
Yeah, the office is downtown. And there's a
Arlington's awesome. I was going to say, you can throw in Arlington if that's where that area. My aunt lives there, so I know that area a little well as well.
Old school, old town, Alexandria. So I'll go in Alexandria.
First, yeah, favorite spot in Alexandria.
I love Fish Market.
Mm.
It's pretty good. It's just, you know, seafood place, pretty simple, but it's pretty tasty, and they do trivia on Thursday nights, which is really fun.
Is it Quizzo or trivia?
Trivia?
Quizzo's better. You've never heard of Quizzo?
No.
I think it's just a Philadelphia thing. I don't know.
I was going to say, is this some upstate thing, or is this like...
I think it's they do it a lot of Philadelphia stuff, but I'm not sure if...
It's a North... Gilbert. Yeah, it's mid-Atlantic, yeah.
So, I have one.
Okay.
It's in our list. It's July the 9th, I guess, whenever the World Cup final is.
Okay.
England somehow makes it miraculously to the final. They play Germany.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for?
Germany, easy.
Ooh.
Because of the Michael Ballack crush?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just,
they were a monster. A little bit. People forget
we spent a little bit more time there. Teams. Yeah, I mean, we watched a lot of, like, that was like the Oliver Kahn and Michael Ballack and Miroslav Klose. Love him.
Oh, the GOAT.
Yeah, him, he had, like, more goals from headers than, like, some of the guys had normal goals. So, yeah, Germany, no question. Anytime the U.S. was out, I completely, like, I've got t-shirts, so I'm way in.
Did you?
Deutschland.
Were you on cloud 12 when 2014 when they played Brazil in the championship?
So awesome! It was so awesome. I just remember went to a bar in Roslyn or courthouse with a few of my friends and watched the game there and had a blast. And the 2010 actually was in Spain when Spain won, but they obviously didn't play in Spain. But I was in Spain when Spain won the World Cup, and you beat Germany in the semis or in the finals. I think the semis, but. Yeah, I love the World Cup. I'm excited. It's funny to me, like, obviously it sucks that the U.S. isn't in it. But, like, let's be honest. We were maybe going to play, what, 4 games? So, not to be that person, but...
I'm always the ignorant American soccer fan here. But, like, yeah. It really is preposterous that we're not at least top.
Yeah,
five.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. It's completely embarrassing.
Like, it really... And, I love the American, like, the ultra fans are like, you don't understand. But I'm like, listen. Like, look at every other sport, from lacrosse to swimming to football. Like, we kill everybody. There is no excuse. America's not amazing in soccer. Like, it's baffling. Like,
yeah. And that's the thing. Is like, it's embarrassing that we're not in it. But, like, that's also... should say something to like the state of where we need to fix U.S. soccer, where it's like, let's be honest, even if we made it, we still would have only played, you know, four or five games.
Okay, I gotta ask you, I mean, there's a part of me like, what more can we invest? Like, all I see where I go home is like every single field just packed to the gills with like youth, like we throw all this sort of money. I was like, come on. Like, I gotta at least qualify the World Cup, but I don't want to get on my.
They have like I think the right foundation in the like youth game, but it's the in between development from like middle school to high school to the college age where like we really fall off, and part of that's like some other countries like go all in on.
We just tossed away the Jurgen plan. You're the prototypical Jurgen Klinsmann, like American grace in Europe that really knows how to play. Yeah. Little bit more fun. Rank your top 5 Marvel movies because you had a great thread, and I hope people made it to this part to hear this.
Yeah. Okay. Oof. I go back and forth, and I think I'm gonna go. Ragnarok is probably my favorite. followed closely. Like, we're talking like 1A and 1B, the first Guardians. I really, really, really liked the first Guardians of the Galaxy. I'd actually probably put Infinity War at number 3. Mm. And then I'm going to put, I'm trying to remember what I had in my list. I really liked Captain America Civil War. And I also like Winter Soldier, and then I probably have, so both of the two Captain America ones there, and then I really, just outside, the first Iron Man, and the, I really liked Tom Holland's Spider-Man, so I'll put you right outside the top 5. It's tough, honestly, outside of Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Thor 2, and Age of Ultron was trash. Oh, and the Hulk movie was bad. But, I mean, you make 18 movies, 19 movies now, and there's, like, 4 of them that aren't very good. Like, that's not too shabby. So I think they do a really – I love the Marvel movies. They're fun, and I enjoyed watching them.
Chris, I'm ready to go if you don't.
I don't really have anything yet. You want to go?
Let's keep it movies. All right. Callie, these are a little bit more fun, I think, for you. Just favorite actor and actress, if you have them?
Oof. I was thinking about this like when you sent me an email, and I was like, oh, man. So there's a few actors. I don't know if it's generally like if I have like a favorite, but there's a few that if they're in it, the likelihood of me seeing it goes up dramatically. And that's Tom Hardy. If he's in it, I will most likely see it. Especially if he wears a mask of some sort, because it's probably going to be pretty good. So, like, that's almost all of his movies if you go back and look at the
pretty much
his collection. I really do like Chris Pratt. I know, like, some people have run out of the love for Chris Pratt, but I think he's fantastic. So, from his days when he was on Everwood, back when I had a crush on him when I was, like, you know, 16 years old. So just, you know, whatever, 5 years ago, whatever that was, just kidding. I'm trying to, like, look at my movie collection and see. And then actresses, I actually really do like Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Which probably isn't a super popular one. I don't know how people feel on her now. I don't know, like, if that's...
She's lost some juice. I had some discussions with Adam.
Yeah.
I think sometimes she makes some bad choices on movies, like Mother or whatever it was.
Almost the opposite of Anne Hathaway, because I didn't like Anne. She seemed a little too... I didn't. Let me finish. And then...
I don't. No,
oh, you don't? Oh, you don't? Oh, I thought you meant... Yeah. And then, like, I kind of changed because I thought, like, she was pretty good in, like, the Dark Knight movie. I was like, oh, this is a different side of her. And I, you know what I mean? It was, like, reverse was Lawrence. Because I was like, oh, Lawrence is cool. And then she got a little annoying.
She's definitely better than Maggie Gyllenhaal was.
Don't get me started. I don't want to ruin the show. But, yeah, exactly. She's the worst.
I also like Emma Stone. I feel like I don't have a lot of drama actors and actresses that I like. I end up, like, going towards comedy. But I also watch a lot more TV now, and I generally, like, don't
that actually, think of yeah, don't TV. Press. That leads to the next question was, what are you watching, like, Netflix or favorite show right now?
Oh, man. All right, I just finished this one, so I'm going to use it as my plug because I just need more people to watch it so I can talk to people about it. It's on Netflix. It's new. It's Dutch, and it's called The Rain. I've been on a big – it's basically about – the short version is there's a deadly virus spread by rainfall. Things go bad very quickly. and the main character is a girl and her brother, and their dad is a scientist who's like trying to fix it or like, you know, take care of stuff. And he like drops, but this is all within the first like 4 minutes of the first episode, so I don't feel bad like setting this up. Basically, like, drops him in this bunker of the company that he works for, and they're like in this bunker for like 6 years, and then they're running out of food, so they don't know what to do. So it's just like kind of not necessarily post-apocalyptic because like the whole world isn't over. It's just like Denmark and you know, you're in Scandinavia. but it's great. It's like dark and the characters are developed well and it's interesting. There's only 8 episodes in the first season, so it's easy to kind of do in a weekend. Although I will say watching it right before like huge rainstorms came in was very stressful. But it also has gotten me on this, like, Netflix is a thing where it's like, because you watched, so they recommended this other show called Containment, which was not as good, and I would not recommend, but I did watch all 13 episodes of that, about a virus outbreak in Atlanta. A lot of virus stuff around, so basically, I don't want to be around people ever again, and I'm going to start, like, stockpiling fan food so that when the inevitable virus outbreak hits, I'm safe for a few days at least. But yeah, that's probably one of the rain. The rain is outstanding. But just in general, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan. I do like some trash shows, so I'll watch Jersey Shore every week when it's on.
Right on.
That's disgusting.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to unwind, throw something on in the background while you're right. You know?
That is true.
Some Southern Charm sometimes.
Hell yeah. Southern Charm is where it's at. Love Southern Charm. I do like some pretty bad TV.
Are you a Live PD fan? Because that's another show that we kind of rally around. Have you ever watched it?
I don't know that one.
It's just a fun, I mean, it's just, it's like.
It's Chris, like a live version Chris, of Cops,
no,
apparently.
No, you did it the best, Chris. Give the real, it was Cops Red Zone, was it? I think you.
Yeah, it's like Cops Red Zone where it's like Dan. Dan Abrams, like the legal guy.
Yeah.
Picture Scott Hansen, but like really smart and legal stuff, and his name is Dan Abrams, and a little bit older than Scott Hansen. That's who the host is.
She knows
he's in like
Dan
this
Abrams.
Control center, and then he goes to like what 4 or 5 or 6 little like police stations in a night, and like sometimes they have like a quad box of like, oh, here's what's happening in Pensacola. Meanwhile, in like Santa Monica, there's a car chase. Let's go right to their quad box, full box.
That's
amazing.
They had like a whole booth. I think it was like 8 to 12 different cities. They had literally all over the country. And then he has like 2 studio guys that are kind of co-hosts with him. But yeah, it's like, it's awesome. But the best thing is like, it's all live. It's literally, so it's just like Saturday night. It's kind of like a cult following. Like if you talk to some people and someone just mentions it, like 3 other people in the room be like, yeah, no, I love that show. You know, that type of thing. But
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I never heard of that.
No, it's just like if you ever watch like those A&E like Next 48 type things. My sister
loves those.
Oh,
yeah,
she ask her about Live PD. I guarantee
she
you'll get a
I
very
guarantee
positive.
She watches it.
I love
it. Yeah, I'm also a huge. I actually really like that show Timeless. I'm like big on the Renewed Timeless bandwagon. So, it's a fun show. I need to rewatch the first season of Westworld because I missed a few at the end, and so I'm like way behind, and there's no way I could even figure out what was happening without watching the first season again. So I'll pretty much watch any show, just give it a try. But I'm a big long-standing fan. I'll watch Parks and Rec all day if there's nothing else on. I love Parks and Rec.
Well, I have this one last more if Chris will close out, but Air Force versus Navy playing football. Who is Caroline rooting for?
Oh, Navy, easy.
Easy, right on. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Even after we got smoked by them in football this last bowl season, that was like the most brutal. Like, oh, but we're supposed to be friends. It was. I used to intern for the Military Bowl, so I did all their social media. A couple years ago when it was Navy Pitt, and that was actually the Keenan Reynolds year, and he's an awesome dude. It's really, really cool to see him play in person and all that stuff. And so when Virginia got picked and it was Navy, I reached out and I was able to do a bunch of social media stuff again this past year, which was fun. The whole week was amazing, just not the game. The game was terrible.
Oh,
especially to go from like being excited where you return the opening kickoff, like, yes, this is amazing, they're going to do it, and then to spend like 3 very, very cold hours watching your team get their butts kicked was a little rough. But yeah, Navy, they're great. I love Coach Ken. And I'll root for Navy anytime they're not playing Virginia, just like I'll root for Georgetown anytime they're not playing Virginia.
2 questions.
Okay.
One, your thoughts on Virginia's two-tone helmets this year.
Loved them.
What?
Yeah, and normally...
Oh! With the Who script? No!
Normally, that, basically, all of that stuff is stuff that I would normally be like, oh, what are you doing? But for me, they somehow worked. I think the thing that pulled it all together for me that made it awesome was the matte. I think if they weren't matte, I would not like them.
Yeah, that's probably one.
I thought the matte was really, really cool.
Yeah. The Cuse shiny orange helmets. Your thoughts?
Terrible. And thanks. Here's why. Independently, like the photo shoots on the sidelines and stuff like that, where it's like, here's the new lids that we're wearing. Like, I thought those looked really, really cool. Yeah. The problem is it didn't match.
Yes.
The jerseys.
Yes.
And that's the thing that'll drive me.
Like 50 crazy. Shades of Orange.
Yeah.
Rated PG.
Yeah. It's just, it was bad.
All whites, Chris, all whites.
Listen, you're just happy, Caroline. You didn't see those shiny orange helmets with our all orange because there's like five shades of orange in those jerseys and shorts.
I would have cried. That's one of the things that just kills me. I get very judgy with matching oranges. Like even at UVA, like when you're like people wear different colored like shirt and like shoes. I'm like, those are two different oranges. What are you doing?
Who's looked the best this season, Caroline? This is an alley for a hop JSU nation.
Well, you have to like remember both my parents went to NC State, so that color, the Carolina blue, the Columbia blue. Mm. It was contraband in my household. Was, still is. I think my mom would take me out of the will if I showed up in a North Carolina shirt. No, I do think that is a color, though, that looks good on literally everybody. Like, everybody puts on that blue and you look fabulous.
Blue's great. UVA blue is nice. I always like that.
I really, really, really liked Virginia's navy on navy.
Mm.
I really like those. And what was great this year is you could read the numbers, which is always a plus. I think there are a bunch of good jerseys this year. I don't remember being too angry at any uniform combos this year.
Anyone you like the best?
Probably just the blue. I do like the orange for UVA, too.
I mean, for anybody, for everybody.
Yeah, probably Virginia.
the final answer, definitely Virginia.
Just always go back. Yeah, probably Virginia.
Virginia.
Well, Carolyn, you've been much too gracious with your time. I mean, I hope you had a great time with us. This was really fun.
I'm sorry for chatting too much, probably.
That's the one thing you can't ever apologize for on this or any of the great shows we have on the College Crosscast Network. So, but no, shout out to you, just a great manager, obviously a great fan and writer as well. So we just really wanted to enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me on. This was a really good time. I enjoyed it.
No worries.
Thank you, Caroline.
We'll pass it up to Ryan, get this up, but hopefully, be up before those those games on Sunday in the Annapolis region. But on behalf of Chris and I, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. If you need anything going forward, let me know. I'm obviously here to help.
No, you're the best.
Cool. Awesome. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Awesome. Thanks, Caroline.
Yep.
Thank you. Bye.